Well, during multiple spring breaks during college, I went on several service trips for Habitat for Humanity to build houses all across the country. And it was really amazing and extraordinary because basically all it was about 12 or more students getting into a rented van from St. Olaf College and traveling somewhere across the country to build these things. And, you know, I really treasure the relationships and the friendships that I made with these students that I wouldn't come across otherwise in my classes at St. Olaf. But however, being that it was basically student-led, these trips would go more smoothly than others, shall we say. I remember one time we were in our van and we stopped at a truck stop for some gas and a little rest. And so one of the students put gas in the van and the others of us went to the restrooms. And after an appropriate amount of time, we kind of gathered again and hopped in the van and went on our way. And I remember we were playing some really 80s rock music, so we were like totally into it. And about 30 minutes while we were tooling down the highway, somebody broke in and said, "Where's Katie?" And it was kind of like the Three Stooges, if you've seen, you know, kind of like looking around. And all of us were saying, "Wow, where's Katie?" Well, Katie was still at the truck stop. So we had to turn around very quickly and drove 30 minutes back and found Katie on the curb waiting patiently. I felt really sorry for her because she left her cell phone also in the van too and couldn't get in contact with us. But she was fine. And I remember her saying to us, "You know, I knew you guys would figure it out that I would be left behind sooner or later." And truth be told, you know, I put myself a little bit into Katie's shoes, being left behind at the truck stop when I read this gospel text out of Matthew today. This text full of apocalyptic language speaks heavily about the second coming of Christ and says, perhaps most famously, "Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." This isn't very comforting for our first Sunday of Advent, really, is it? You know, what if I am and some character just living my life in the Left Behind book series, and now I have to come to wraps with the fact that God has left me behind at the truck stop? How scary it is to think about being left behind. I think being left behind is a fear that a lot of us have. Fear of being alone, fear of being without family or support or loved ones to share in our lives together. You know, our young adult, our adult group, Young at Heart group, we're studying Martin Luther. We just wrapped up a course, 2-month course on that. And what we learned was kind of the concept of hell for Martin Luther. And the concept of hell for Luther was not kind of what we think of today as like the eternal fire, damnation, kind of little devils with pitchforks kind of poking you. What hell was for Luther, and he writes about this, was complete and utter isolation from God. Completely left alone. Completely left behind. And you know, I know that there are many, many people in this country, many families, especially immigrant families, who are feeling, especially after this election, a real sense of being alone. I heard from one of my friends who is an elementary school teacher in Minnesota That after the election, she had 5 first graders who were immigrants coming to her crying and asking her how and when she was going to report them to the President of the United States and deport Mommy and Daddy. And they asked her crying, "What will I do without my Mommy and Daddy?" Because of this very unusual time, I don't think that this type of theology, this type of left behind type of theology really serves us very well. I'm going to do that. It doesn't really serve us very well, I don't think. So what is another way perhaps we can approach these sometimes very difficult scripture texts? Well, for me personally, one of the things that I like to do is, and one thing that I've mentioned many times before, is going back to the Greek language. You know, not that this is like the be-all, end-all of all things interpretation-wise, but because I feel very strongly that knowing how these words in a different and from a different culture fit into that culture can influence how we see our lives of faith today. I think there's a strong correlation. And so that's where I want to go back to. I want to go back to 3 Greek words that Jesus uses in our passage today. And the first word, which is probably the most famous of all of them, that you've probably heard before, is the word parousia. Parousia, or what is commonly translated as the second coming of Christ, used in many, many different books about fire and brimstone. The book of Revelation uses this word all the time. Jesus is coming, get ready. And Jesus is talking about the parousia here in this text when he insists in verse 36 that no one knows. No one knows when this parousia will happen. Well, it turns out that this word, parousia, is used in many, many other types of literature in the Greek language. And most commonly, it's actually used for a party. It has this meaning of, you know, when the head host comes to the party. Now we can start to do our thing and to party, right? The word itself literally means to come along one side, to for God to come back to the party and to be present. Now the party can begin. So it's a word then that emphasizes much more of kind of a gathering. Now we're complete, that God has arrived, that all of us are here, instead of kind of the plucking up and leaving behind, which is maybe what some of us are used to thinking. And Jesus seems to agree with this understanding of parousia, as he says about 5 verses before our verse today. He says, "And they will see the human one coming in the heavenly clouds with power and great splendor," parousia. "He will send his angels with the sound of great trumpet, and they will gather up those from the 4 corners of the earth." They will gather up those from the 4 corners of the earth. So if parousia is more about the gathering of all things, well then what the bleep is Jesus talking about with, well, one will be taken and one will be left? What does Jesus mean here? Which gets to my 2 other Greek words. And if you are interested, Mark Davis, who writes this very entertaining book called Left Behind and Loving It, gets into this. And he gets into these 2 words. And the 2 other Greek words that I want to cover are the word paralambano, which is Jesus uses as the word to take, right? And the other word, athene, which Jesus uses to describe those who are left, right? So what Davis does such a good job in doing is points out that, yes, These terms are translated kind of correctly in our translation that we have in our bulletins today. But like any language, these terms also have a plethora of different meanings and translations that are different from when it's in poetry, from when it's in historical readings, from just kind of reporting of the current day events. And it turns out that the first word, paralambano, actually kind of has this meaning of take with force. In fact, many times it's used in Greek literature to describe an example of, Davis talks about, of when the baby gets to the ledge and is almost going to fall off, you get the baby and you take it away. That's what paralambano is about. It's about scooping up and taking away in a forceful way. And the word aphemi is actually used in Greek poetry quite a lot as a word that also means to be left behind, but also means this kind of connotation of to be released, to be forgiven, which is how Davis translates it. So interestingly enough, Davis translates verses 40 like this. And you can read along with me if you want. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken because they did not care. And one will be forgiven. Now I think that this is a really interesting way of translating. Not the only way of translating, but an interesting way, because what it does is that it turns the whole left behind theology on its head. Davis, in his book, even uses the story of Noah. As he quotes, as he asks, you know, who are the ones who are actually taken in this story? Something I never thought about before. But the ones who are taken in this story, paralambano, are the ones who actually aren't very good, are the ones who weren't watching. Noah and the ones, actually, are the ones that stay and that continue the work of God's creation. So what if today, what if on this first Sunday of Advent, we see this story now as saying, well, what if we are called to be left behind? What if we were the ones now who are called to be left at the truck stop so that we can continue the work of the parousia, the great, great gathering, because of God's radical and incredible love? What if we are the ones now to be called to actively wait and watch? So what does that mean? And that's kind of where I conclude, you know. So if we are the ones at the truck stop, well, are we going to be waiting like Katie on the curb? It's not actually probably a helpful image, and so I want to digress from this example a little bit, because it's not really the waiting that Jesus has in mind for us who are left behind at the truck stop. It's interesting that Jesus brings up the example yet again of Noah. And if you notice a very interesting thing about this text, if you read it again and again, you know, one of the things that Jesus doesn't mention about those who are paralambano or taken away is sin. You know, we think of these people as being sinful, as being wicked, but, you know, what Jesus says in verse 37, for as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all the way. The problem here is not that these people around Noah were evil, wicked, super sinful people. The problem is that they were complacent. The problem is that the people around Noah were going about as business as usual. going about with their lives, not heeding God's word. Noah, on the other hand, as Jesus points out, was actively watching and was listening to God, heeding a warning, compared to the rest of the world who was just doing whatever. So, my friends, it is the beginning of a new church year and a new season of Advent, and I think is the perfect time for us to do some soul searching. Those of us who are radically forgiven and left behind at the truck stop, on what it means to actively wait and not be complacent. It is a time for us not to be lulled into life as normal. And we can see it, right? We can see it again and again from everything, from the economy to education to drug and alcohol abuse to the environment to human rights. We can see the tendency to think, well, you know, things are going fine. Let's just live our lives. But if we are the ones who God has charged with the work of the great parousia, helping to bring about the great gathering, then we have to be the ones to do it, to help God do it. I've been struggling with this in my own life, for whatever it's worth. I'm finding in myself a renewed sense of trying to be an engaged American, trying to be a citizen of this country, a citizen that stands for the Word of God, a citizen that stands and does not stand for blasphemy or hate or isolation. And I want to go to certain events and vote for people that I care about. And as the years go on, I hope to encourage this congregation to walk with me in being engaged citizens as well. Maybe you have always wanted to volunteer at the Poverello Center or at Soft Landing Missoula or at any other of the worthwhile organizations here in our city, but haven't gotten to it. Well, now is the time to not be complacent. Maybe you have always thought, well, you know, I kind of want to reevaluate my stewardship and maybe bump up my giving just a little bit to other organizations around this area or other causes, but I've never really gotten around to it. Well, now is the time. Now is the time to actively wait. Because, to be honest with you, our world needs more people who are actively waiting. Our world needs more people who are left behind. God bless us who are the ones who are radically forgiven, who are the ones who are left behind together in community. And may God bless our work of preparing for God's great and hopeful parousia. Amen.